On the eve of the confidence vote for the Ontario provincial budget, NDP leader Andrew Horwath is ramping up the pressure to negotiate key budget changes in exchange for NDP support. If the Liberals fail to garner NDP support for the budget, they'll be thrown back into an election, something that political pundits say the McGuinty government wants to avoid at all costs. Foremost among Andrea Horwath's demands has been a proposal for a new tax bracket for Ontarians earning more than $500,000 annually. The NDP has calculated that the new tax bracket would raise up to $570 million in revenues for the province. But talking about increasing taxes has been a politically taboo topic for as long as most of us can remember. The very fact that this is now being discussed in the mainstream media as a serious policy possibility has many people excited. The new organization, Doctors for Fair Taxation, a group of physicians calling for more progressive taxation in Canada, is being credited with bringing the issue to the forefront. Since launching their website on March 22nd, Doctors for Fair Taxation have had numerous op-eds, TV, and radio appearances. Their slogan, "Tax Us, Canada's Worth It," has caught on as physicians put themselves forward as a group who are willing to be taxed more progressively if it means maintaining current public services and avoiding cuts. On today's episode of Health Justice Radio, we speak with Tanya Zacherson, a steering committee member with Doctors for Fair Taxation and a trauma surgeon at Toronto's St. Michael's Hospital. Stay with us.
You're listening to Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3.
If you're just joining us, my name is Nikki Bozanoff and you're listening to the Health Justice Radio Collective on CFMU 93.3 FM. I'm speaking with Dr. Tanya Zacherson, a trauma surgeon at St. Michael's Hospital and also a steering committee member at Doctors for Fair Taxation. Tell me about Doctors for Fair Taxation, who you are, and what you're calling for.
Okay. So Doctors for Fair Taxation, in all fairness, no pun intended, was started by Dr. Michael Rackless, who's a practicing physician as well as a health policy analyst and expert, and he thought of the idea together with us, with physicians that are essentially concerned about the growing gap between the rich and poor in Canada. There's a further income inequality, and certainly as physicians, we see this with our patients when they come in. We see how poverty can affect them and how this increase in the income gap can affect the health of our patients, and not just our poor patients, but our high-income earning patients as well. So we were quite concerned to hear the dialogue of the government talk about a very high deficit, how we need austerity measures, we have to cut back on funding for social programs. These social programs are so key to support our patients that are kind of on the edge, and so we were very concerned that the dialogue was focused on the fact that, well, there's nothing we can do, there's not enough money, and we just have to cut back out of the public coffers and have people who you know, are suffering already suffer even further. Our perspective was, well, no, there is another way. There is something else that can be done. And what we can do is, instead of having the current flat tax for the high-income earners or the rich, as we have in Canada, is introduce a progressive taxation. And what we propose to do, for example, is to add four new income tax brackets for high-income earners. And so our take-home message with all of this is we don't appreciate the growing gap between high-income earners and lower-income earners, and we think there is financing and funding that can be generated in order to support the most vulnerable of society to reduce that gap so that all Canadians are healthier. So our motto is sort of tax us, Canada's worth it, and I really stand by that.
So
as a trauma surgeon as well, I see that every day in the trauma bay.
How do you mean, I guess, for folks who you know, maybe don't see the link between trauma and income inequality. Can you flesh that out a bit?
Sure. I'll give you an example. For some of the patients that we have coming in, if they're young kids, essentially sometimes they're 16, 17, 18 years of age, they're coming in, they're directly affected by something like, say, gun violence or intentional interpersonal violence. You tend to see this occurring in the neighborhoods that are more marginalized and don't have a lot of social programs. They don't have a lot of social support. Sometimes the public schools are a bit more run down, perhaps, or they're just coming from very working class, low-income earning families, where frequently one parent or maybe both parents have two or three jobs. However, they're minimum wage jobs. And so you see the stress, and we've done actually extra research in this area. I have on a personal level, but you see the stress that that poverty plays with these people. And so sometimes a lot of youth are encouraged within the neighborhoods or encouraged by peers to sort of look at unorthodox income generation methods. Mm-hmm. So our group doesn't necessarily address this. This is me speaking on a personal level as mm-hmm. a trauma surgeon. So we see patients coming in that are from, you know, a struggling segment of society where mm-hmm. they really do rely on public programs and supportive programs to help them stay in school, help them make ends meet so they don't have to decide between, you know, paying the rent or feeding the family or heating the apartment, you know, during the winter, but mm-hmm. they can have ends meet so that they're not experiencing pressure to look for different ways of generating income for mm-hmm. not just themselves, but their families as well that are very much on the edge. So that's, you know, there's a lot of violence, there's a lot of risk that's taken to once you start engaging in that.
Okay.
And that's understood. So I'd like to see sort of more of a society where people aren't so on the edge and pushed to do these things, where we have it easier for people to reach and fulfill their dreams, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell me a bit more specifically about, I guess, what Canada's tax structure looks like right now? Because I'm sure for at least people who are my age, we probably don't have too much of an idea about, you know, mm-hmm. how much tax we're making because we're all in debt.
Sure, Nikki. It's a good point. And to be honest, I didn't really appreciate it fully either until I sort of got into practice and sort of understood the structure. So the long and the short, when we talk about personal income tax, there's a certain amount of tax you pay on the money that you earn. What's interesting in Canada is we have what's called a marginal taxation rate that's around 46%. So marginal taxation or the marginal tax, and again, I'm not an economist, but just in very simple terms, that's the amount of tax Canadians will pay on the highest amount of income that they earn, and typically over $132,000. But what's interesting is, so when we say a marginal taxation rate of 46%, it doesn't mean that close to half of your salary goes to the government in tax. It's only the salary you make above $130,000. So there's lower rates at the lower income levels. But what's interesting to know is that if I make $132,000, I'm paying 46% on anything sort of above that. But mm-hmm. if I make $132 million or $132 billion, it's the same rate of taxation. So that's what I mean in terms of saying we have a flat tax for the rich. Mm-hmm. It's non-progressive in terms mm-hmm. of normally what societies tend to see or what you'd like to see to help, you know, again, support the public infrastructure is going up with a higher rate of tax the more money you make because it's less of a financial burden for those extremely high-income earning Canadians. So that's something that's actually very important. There's other ways that we can generate income. For example, Canada has no estate tax, and that's another example that comes up a lot. And what that means, although we don't necessarily address this specifically in our platform, but it is something that we do mention does come up. But if someone in your family were to die and bequeath you $5 million or anything in excess of that, you pay zero tax on that. And it's interesting because, again, as I mentioned, we're the only country in the world that does not have an inheritance or an estate tax like that. Even the United States will tax that and generate, you know, billions of dollars of revenue just on that. So we've done, you know, over the years, our marginal taxation rate has gone from 80% in the 50s and 60s down to 46%. So we've been rewarding high-income earners as the years have gone by. And in fact, the environment economically is so favorable to high-income earners that the number of billionaires we have in Canada actually doubled in the last 10 years, and there's a lot of literature on that. Mm-hmm. As an aside, some of this sort of economic background information is actually available on our website, doctorsforfairtaxation.ca. So I do encourage people to look at that. But the long and the short is the high-income earners have been paying less tax as the years have gone by, versus in the 50s and 60s during a time when they paid much more tax. And in fact, it was interesting because that was kind of the golden days of capitalism where the economy was booming, you know, mm-hmm. this idea that you'll scare away capital and investment is not actually true. So, but that's the argument that's used a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But we've been rewarding high-income earners for no benefit to society.
So, I mean, that's one of the criticisms that's been levied against this idea is essentially that Canada's in a unique position because we do, live very close to the United States. So what would stop people with very transportable skills, for example, physicians, from crossing the border kind of thing? And why would they stay in Canada if they had to pay a greater amount of tax?
And I would argue on a personal note, not necessarily on behalf of the group, but if there's physicians who are practicing in Canada for the money, those aren't the ones I want staying in Canada, to be honest. I don't want them touching my family members. I don't want to have anything to do with them because I don't think they're motivated by the science and the love of their craft. As a moral argument, as an aside, but no, from a more of the economic arguments that you hear out there in the newspapers and whatnot, the idea that the rich reinvest in countries is not necessarily true. In fact, it's been easier for them to keep their savings, and we know actually they keep their money more than spend it, and they keep it also in offshore accounts, and there's a lot of capital flight and things that I won't get into too many details about, but conversely, if the other thing is if you have high-income earners that are making a lot of money, we have a middle class that is not making a lot of money. Those very high-income earners, millionaires and billionaires, do not reinvest in a society where they know the middle income or the middle class has no financial resources. They have no resources to purchase the products that these millionaires and billionaires are making for the society. So it's a bit of a false argument. And if you look at the Scandinavian countries, for example, they have AAA credit ratings and they have some of the highest taxations on earth, but and their economies are doing very well and they have, you know, local people investing in society. So, you know, part of it is what kind of society do you want to live in? Part of it is what kind of business investment do you want? But from the perspective of our group, what we're saying is there are ways to support our social programs, and those social programs are very important. And there's ways of reducing that income inequality between the rich and the poor. Mm-hmm. And we must do that because that leads to healthier outcomes for our patients, and not just our poor patients or low-income earners, but for all of our patients, mm-hmm. high and low-income earners.
So do you have an example of how much under the system that you're proposing someone would be taxed in addition to what they're being taxed currently?
So there's, if you want, there's, we actually have a tax calculator on our website. So okay. There are multiple examples of that, if you will. But for example, in the top 1%, if you're earning up to, say, $170,000, because our proposed increases in taxation are quite modest, like an extra 1%, 2%, 3% and 6%, that type of thing, you're talking about around $1,400 extra. But that can range, and that actually goes up progressively if you're, you know, from 170,000 to 400,000. If it's 400,000, it goes up exponentially to closer, like around $15,000 extra taxes per year, that's approaching actually what I made my first year of practice, to be honest. And to be honest, I would be more than happy and more than willing to pay $15,000 extra in tax if that meant I'm not seeing 17 and 18-year-olds come into my trauma-based shot at night, mm-hmm. if that meant that we live in a healthier society for all Canadians, where that gap between the rich and the poor is minimized.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would be more than willing to. You know, it's a similar Warren Buffett story where he's happy to pay millions more worth, you know, in tax if that meant it's a safer, healthier, better society for all citizens. And so we certainly share in that. And we've had a lot of support from a lot of Canadians, of many high-income earner Canadians, not just physicians, but there's a, you know, the group Lawyers for Fair Taxation that started. There's clergy, engineers. We're looking for bankers as well, but there's rumblings out there of that starting as well. But Canadians, for the most part, are very keen on certainly opening up the debate about taxing high-income earners, but they're also very keen on saying, what kind of society do we want to live in? One where we can address all the social determinants of health for all Canadians and just have a healthier and better society for all people that are living there. Like mm-hmm. we said, Canada is worth it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's interesting that you said Canadians are interested in having the conversation, because we haven't actually seen a leader up until now suggest that we should increase taxation or have more progressive taxation. And just recently, and I think to the credit of Doctors for Fair Taxation, Andrea Horwath, Ontario NDP leader, suggested a surtax on Ontarians earning more than $500,000. So I wonder, has Doctors for Fair Taxation kind of looked at Andrea Horwath's suggestion, and what's been the response to that?
Absolutely. In fact, we're very excited with that initiative. And in fact, there's editorials in Globe and Mail and the Toronto Star, and there's a lot of buzz, if you will, that's going on even, you know, today and yesterday and recently, precisely about that discussion. So we're in full support, certainly, of the NDP's proposal. Now, we think they could probably go further, to be honest, but at least having that discussion out there, and also just demystifying or educating Canadians that, you know, tax is not a bad word, and, you know, taxing each other and taxing Canadians is not an evil thing, where it's sort of, there's been quite a bit of propaganda out there about the whole idea of taxation. I mean, I'm glad I went to a public school and then subsequently to medical school, and, you know, I'm happy that we have taxes in our society to support that public infrastructure that lets us develop our human potential. But to get back to the NDP proposal, absolutely, we are in solid support and behind that, and encouraging people to write, you know, letters to their MPs and to support the initiative, to say, you know, that that definitely is a start, mm-hmm. and we can go further with that. But let's get that discussion going. And I think that the timing is right. This is a discussion that's been going on in the United States recently as well. So we're sort of following a bit in that, but it's, to be honest, a discussion that's happening on a global level, and it's very exciting. And it's an extremely logical discussion. I mean, it's in my mind, it's a discussion that's long overdue, to be honest, to say, hey, what are our priorities for each other and for the various societies in which we live on planet Earth?
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, this was an important year in terms of income inequality. We saw the Occupy movement and kind of the discussion around the 99%. I wonder, to what extent was the formation of Doctors for Fair Taxation related to maybe some feelings of being uncomfortable with wealth?
I think it's... like, you mean feeling uncomfortable with personal wealth or wealth in general, or income
inequality?
Yeah,
I guess income inequality, and I guess the fact that most physicians are part of that 1%.
Mm-hmm. So that's an interesting question. So I think for the different members of our group, and we have many, we probably have even our own personal opinions about that matter, but certainly what unifies us and unifies all, you know, our supporters and the people that are forming their own groups are certainly by being receptive to the average Canadian that's out there, receptive to our patients, for example, but receptive to people around the world, whether they're in Spain or whether, you know, they're anywhere on planet Earth, or whether they're part of the majority world that's out there that has long suffered because of these this income inequality that we see in Canada, but also all throughout the globe. And so I think it would certainly be wrong if we said we weren't cognizant of that, and also cognizant of the fact that, you know, our roles as physicians are very important in the sense that we need to be having that conversation about income inequality and how that has a direct effect on health and the health of our patients, and that's something that needs to be addressed. You know, we don't have an official stance on salaries and whatnot. We're not here to speak on behalf of the Ontario Medical Association or anything like that. Really, our perspective is we have our own personal views on that. But definitely that gap between the rich and the poor, that is increasing faster, at a faster rate in Canada than it is, in fact, in the United States. That has to be addressed and reversed for direct health benefits for all Canadians.
Mm-hmm. I'm also interested in the use of the word fair, because I guess many people would see the word fair as maybe, or interpreted as, you know, I make this much money and I work quite hard for the money I make, so it would be fair for me to keep all that money. So I wonder what, you know, how did you guys choose to use that word, and what does it mean for you?
That's interesting. So, you know, yeah, we work very hard. We're, you know, up all night and we're on call. And I can assure you the nurses also that work with me, they work very hard too. And in fact, you know, at 4 o'clock when I go down to the second cup and buy a coffee, that person's working pretty hard too and they're up all night. So it's interesting how it's we all do our bit. And the fairness comes from the fact that high-income earners are paying less and less tax as the years go by. And in fact, as I mentioned, with the marginal taxation rate being 46%, we're paying a level of tax that's so low, it's to the level that we used to see in the 1920s, right before the Great Depression. So fairness, I think, is not even introducing some new radical concept or anything. It's getting back to our Canadian roots, if you will, to say, hey, do you remember in the 50s and 60s when the economy was booming? We were paying an 80% marginal taxation rate. You know, why has that gone to be the level that it's almost half that? You know, how is that fair? So the Canadian Center for Policy Alternatives also has looked at overall taxation rates, so sales tax, income tax, and other things like that. And they've actually found in a document that they released in 2009 that low-income earners now actually proportionally pay a higher rate of tax, overall tax, than the high-income earners, and that's a disturbing trend that we're now seeing. So what that means is overall, with all taxation, I pay a lower overall rate of tax than that woman in the second cup is paying for, you know, when she's earning minimum wage. So that's where I think the fairness comes in. It's when you kind of tease apart these things that, to be honest, I didn't even know about this, like not so long ago. But when you tease apart and scratch below the surface and say, hey, what's been going on historically? What have the current trends been? You see that, you know, there's this subtle but very strong favoritism tax-wise in terms of our government rewarding the high-income earners for a variety of reasons and excuses and things, but we tend to scale back the social programs and we claw back things that are vital for the lower-income earners, and we reward those who already have a lot, and that just doesn't make any sense. There's no logic in that, and to be honest, from a moral argument, it isn't very fair at all. So that's I think that's the stance that we certainly have as a group, and you know, individually as well, we feel that.
Okay. Can you talk at all about any other criticisms that you've come up against?
I think it's largely that. I think people feeling that, you know, I work hard for the money. And, you know, I'm thinking, for example, a heated discussion I had with a colleague of mine who's also a surgeon, and how, you know, hard nights and paying off your debt and whatnot. But then I pointed out she drives a Jaguar. And so, like, sure, but it's like, how much money does one really need? And, you know, at the end of the day, if it means like I need to be driving BMWs and Jaguars, or I'm going to live in a society that's healthier for all Canadians, then, you know, I know what I would kind of pick from my perspective. And it doesn't mean like everyone has to, feel the same way, but certainly from a physician's perspective, like, of course, course we need our patients to be healthy and live in healthy environments. It makes no sense to treat patients and re-release them into environments without questioning what made them sick in the first place, mm-hmm. or looking upstream and, you know, quoting Jeffrey Rose or some of the epidemiologists from the UK in terms of asking, you know, what are the causes of the causes. But so criticisms, you know, it's a standard sort of, you know, we've had national post editorials, people have talked about it, you know, an attack on the rich and the standard arguments where we'll scare away investment and things like that. But it's just when you say, like I mentioned before, when you scratch mm-hmm. the surface of those arguments, and people like Linda McQuaig have written books about this, like The Trouble with Billionaires. But when you scratch below the surface, those are very much straw man arguments, and they don't hold up to any sort of scrutiny. So, but Warren Buffett is sort of unique. You don't have a lot of millionaires or people with a lot of money saying, yes, I'm willing to give my money away. But with that said, we've been surprised with the incredible support we've had all across the country with people who are saying exactly that. They're like, yeah, I work hard, but, you know, my cleaning lady works hard too, and I'm paying a lower rate of taxation than she is. So I'm happy to pay more tax if that means we're going to have a more fair and just society.
Mm-hmm. And have you had any responses from any of your patients?
Well, it's not something I mention at work, unless, you know, my patients mention it. So mm-hmm. I haven't heard anything from that. It's been mainly like a lot of support from nurses, okay. to be honest, mm-hmm. And also colleagues at work. But it's, mm-hmm. it's, you know, it's a very personal issue for mm-hmm. people. I think, you know, like physicians are not the high, like the very high income earners that are out there, but certainly... for some of those that really do make a lot, and I'm thinking of the specialty physicians as well, it's at least food for thought for them, because they, like I mentioned, they see the direct effects of poverty on our patients, mm-hmm. especially some of us working in the downtown core. And so it's stimulating the discussion, just having people think about what they're doing, what they're seeing. And it's a very, very interesting discussion to be had, but I think a very important one. And it's, like I said, it's exciting to see that debate, that dialogue is commencing amongst Canadians.
Mm-hmm. Well, definitely it's amazing the amount of attention that Doctors for Fair Taxation has received thus far. That's all the questions that I have. Is there anything else that you wanted to add or make sure we got in today?
No, again, I would just encourage people to go to our website, doctorsforfairtaxation.ca, and you can look at more of the backgrounders and some information on that. But just, I guess the take home is just keep talking to everyone around you, keep talking to your family members, to certainly for medical students, talk to your faculty, talk to each other about what this means and what does a healthier, fairer, more just Canada mean for everyone. And I think that discussion is extremely stimulating and also long overdue.
Okay, well, thanks so much for talking with us today.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're listening to Health Justice Radio on CFMU 93.3 FM. That's it for today's episode, but if you liked what you heard, you can stream past episodes and find links from today's show at www.healthjusticeradio.com. That's www.healthjusticeradio.com. You can also subscribe to our podcast by searching Health Justice Radio in iTunes. Follow us on Twitter by searching Health Justice RC. That's Health Justice, letter R, letter C. Or find us on Facebook by searching Health Justice Radio. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll see you next week, 1:30 p.m. on CFMU 93.3 FM.